everybody, and welcome to This Week in Figure Skating for the week of February 11th through 18th, 2013. Catch your breath, everybody, but the announcements have started for next season. Japan announced the location of some of its competitions, which happened to include not only Japanese Nationals set in Saitama near Tokyo, but also the Grand Prix finale to take place on Fukuoka on the Southern Island, and Worlds also taking place in Saitama. The ISU, meanwhile, announced the locations of next season's 7 Junior Grand Prix events, in order, Riga in Latvia, Mexico City, Kosice in Slovakia, the only first-time host, Gdansk in Poland, Minsk in Belarus, Ostrava in the Czech Republic, and Tallinn in Estonia. Like this season, there will be 5 pairs competitions, Mexico City and Gdansk being the 2 events without one. Other countries are more focused on this season's Worlds, including Russia, where the Russian Cup final in Tver, near the westernmost part of the country, started yesterday amid claims from Federation officials that will be so involved in the choosing the world team that Yuka Kavaguchi and Alexander Smirnov and Vera Bazarov and Yuri Larionov's failure to participate might subject them to a test skate later, though that may also be because Larionov's claiming he still isn't fully recovered from his wrist injury. For Kavaguchi and Smirnov, it's the flu. There are also rumors Bazarov and Larionov are having trouble with coach Ludmila Kalinina and may switch to Tamara Moskvina. Also out is Maxim Kuvtin, which begs the question of if there's really going to be a fair decision if he doesn't directly face off the other contenders for that one world's berth. That remains to be seen after the men's competition starts tomorrow. Meanwhile, the ice dance competition wrapped up today. In the senior dance, Xenia Manko and Kirill Kavalian beat Victoria Sinitsina and Ruslan Jiganjin for the second internal competition in a row, 153.28 to 149.46. And this time, they won both the short, where Sinitsina was slightly off in the twizzles, and even the free, mostly on presentation scores. Valeria Luseva and Dennis Lunin were unchallenged for the bronze. In the juniors, Anna Yanovskaya and Sergei Mozgov won by some way. Today saw the ladies and pairs skate their shorts, to some huge surprises in the former. The senior ladies are currently led by, of all skaters, Evgenia Gerasimova, with 64.89, 4 points ahead of Polina Korobeynikova and Nicole Gosfiani in second and third, respectively. All three landed triple-triples, but Korobeynikova had to turn out in one of her solo jumps, and Gosfiani stayed in her feet but was shaky here and there, and if Gerasimova herself had to hold on at times, it was because she really blazed through much of the program. Poor Alina Leonova did a triple-double, flipped out of one solo jump, and the other was rough. She ended up 3 points behind the second two, and only 900 ahead of Polina Agafonova, who also landed a triple-triple but had a 2-foot. It is worth a reminder at this point that Gerasimova is too young to go to Senior Worlds, and Gorshkov has insisted the Junior Worlds roster is set and won't be changed. The junior lady showed a surprise too, maybe not quite with the leader Yuliana Tichushkina, carrying into the free a 6-point advantage over Anastasia Kolomietz in second, but definitely with Serafina Sakhnovich right behind her in third. Paris was more predictable. Zina Stilbova and Fedor Klimov, with 62.56, currently have a huge lead over the other three senior teams, and Maria Vigilova and Igor Zakharov have a similar lead in the juniors. For other countries, Canada has filled out its world's roster. No surprises here. Andre Rugazin, having followed up his beating Elijah Ball, the Canadian Nationals, by beating him again at 4 continents, has taken the third men's spot. Well, with the return to the ice, Kaelin Weaver and Andrew Poggier have been put in the third ice dance spot, though the Federation does plan to monitor their recovery. Slightly more surprisingly, the Finnish Federation made known this week they would not be using all their available berths. Instead of sending him alongside Javier Rea, which would doom them to only 2 spots at next year's Olympics, they're sending Javier Fernandez alone for the men in the hopes that he can make the top 2 and thus earn 3. On the junior side, Keiji Tanaka is out of Junior Worlds due to trouble with his left thigh. Shoma Uno replaces him. A higher-profile Japanese withdrawal from a lower-profile event was one of many from the Challenge Cup, with Take Kakuzuka writing on his blog he isn't competition ready for it. Indeed, 9 withdrawals have reduced that men's field to 13. Brandon Mraz is apparently injured, and Alexander Majorov and Michael Christian Martinez are also among those out. The other 2 fields didn't suffer in size. Thanks to substitutions, the ladies' number 31 skaters, but there have been 7 withdrawals from there, including Valentina Marquet and Sonia Lafuente. And thanks to more substitutions, there are still 8 pairs, even after they lost not only Nicole Delamonica and Matteo Guris, but even initial Polish alternates Magdalena Klecka and Radoslaw Krusinski. Meanwhile, in Oberstdorf, the Bavarian Open concluded Monday with the free dances, and Penny Coombs and Nicholas Buckland continue to impress, even getting level 3 steps, level 4 everything else, but at the end they were not quite as perfect as they were in the short, though they still won easily, with 157.17 points. Down below them, Isabella Tobias and Devi Destegnunius, in contrast, got things together better for the free, though they were still hailed fairly closely by bronze medalists Lorenza Alessandrina and Simone Vetturi, and even 4th placers Tanya Colby and Stefano Caruso, both of whom got higher technical scores than them, if only on their tariffs. In the juniors, Sofia Sefouris and Francesco Fioretti held on to the short dance lead to win, but they lost the free dance by about a point to silver medalists Daria Morozova and Mikhail Zirnov. Taking place in its entirety this week was the Helmut Seip Memorial in Vienna, a singles-only event with a very strong Scandinavian presence, including a win for Sweden by Yoshi Helgason in the senior ladies. Her short suffered from a triple-toe single-toe, and after that program, she was closely tailed by Danish skater Nina Madsen, who skated clean, but the free, Helgason's only real problem were two partial downgrades, and one of those was only on a double, and by tariff alone, she still raced away, and with 160.66 won by over 15 points. She needed her harder jumps over Madsen, who without a triple lutz or flip kept it clean for a very comfortable silver. Nor was Italian Carol Bassanotti overly challenged for the bronze, though while her short was clean, her free had both her loops, her hardest jumps, partially downgraded, and a very messy toe. As he competed in an easy field among the senior men, Peter Liebers had an interview from Oberstdorf published this week in which, among other things, he talked about adjustments to his short. Presumably, that would now include not falling on his triple axel, which happened here, and also about skating clean programs, though his free here had a few minor errors, but no major ones meant with 191.98 he still won big, especially since below him things were a bit more chaotic with two different fellow Germans coming in second in each segment. Paul Fentz proved the beneficiary of his second place free skate finish. He was third after the short with a triple axel, but a bad double loop behind Dennis Weixerek, who skated clean. In the free, though he fell on both lutzes, losing combo in the process, Fentz more or less managed everything else, including two triple axels. No one else besides Liebers could do any clean ones throughout, and that got him silver. Weixerek skated more or less clean, but had nothing else and slipped off the podium behind Finn Walter Virtanen, who had been fifth after the short after falling on his lutz, but the free made up for a fall on a lip and a couple smaller issues with a notably higher tariff than Weixerek plus better presentation. In the juniors, another Finn, Lyubov Efimenko, more or less blew the other ladies out, while another Swede, Ondre Spiegel, did even more so to the other men. In more absurd Russian news, Evgeny Plushenko is the one petitioning the courts this week, as Monday he filed a libel complaint against Russian Eurosport commentator Andrei Zhurankov. During Eurosport's broadcast of Four Continents last week, Zhurankov talked about how following Plushenko's announcing his surgery in Tel Aviv, the Israeli media went looking for him and couldn't find his name as checked in any of the city's hospitals, ignoring the probability of that just being a result of the Olympic champion having his privacy protected, and even the photos his wife posted to the world showing him recovery. Zhurankov then suggested there might not have been a surgery, but that it was a publicity stunt, which might not have been a good idea at all, since while older Russian laws criminalizing slander had been repealed, a new one doing the same was put in place back in December, and Plushenko has now gone to the police over it. Zhurankov backpedaled after making the comment, saying he was just talking about how Plushenko gets too much publicity in general, but Plushenko still wants a criminal investigation, and Zhurankov questioned and appeared on TV to defend his reaction, talking about how insulting this truly is, and he must now win to shut this kind of talk up the way he did in Torino after they wagged their tongues about 2005 Worlds. The Russian Federation has stated their support for him. Young training mate Elizaveta Tukhtemisheva also got an opportunity to talk about this when she was interviewed this week, in which she said she was amazed anyone could think he was faking it. And the reporter tried to bait her into saying something ill of Adelina Sotnikova, but she rose firmly above that. She is now participating in the Russian Cup finale, if only because she really doesn't need to, and is also recovering from illness and will only be back in full training tomorrow, and before Worlds will head to the US for a small time zone adjusting training camp. Nikolai Morozov was also interviewed before the competition, and said he now wants to take Elena Ilyich and Nikita Katslapov to Igor Spielbond in the summer to get some input from him for them. He also talked about Daisuke Takahashi, saying this season was something of a trial run for them, when Takahashi trained without Morozov during much of the Grand Prix, and probably did way too many shows after Japanese Nationals, so he's not too disappointed by what happened at Four Continents, but on the 20th they'll head to the US and hunker down for Worlds. The aftermath of Four Continents would also mean comments from surprise winner Kevin Reynolds and his coach Joanne McLeod. Reynolds maybe admits he was a little lucky some of the guys skated badly, but is certainly proud of rising to the occasion, and is especially glad to skate well back-to-back at both Four Continents and Canadian Nationals. He says he's even aiming for a top six finish in Sochi, even though he's not taking his spot on the team for granted after missing out on Vancouver, which he now says was incentive. McLeod echoes the belief that he can contend with the top skaters, but says she is not outright stating goals to the world because she doesn't want Reynolds to worry about the expectations the world would respond with. Also talking this week was Kanako Murakami about her point-gathering strategy of doing a triple-triple in the back half of the short, which she finally landed clean at Four Continents. She acknowledged it hasn't been easy, she's had her legs be too cramped to do it, and felt she just had to learn to jump through the pain. It wasn't until late in the Grand Prix she even started to get a 60% landing rate in practice, but she actually felt her conditioning was in place by Japanese Nationals, where nerves thwarted her instead. Before she entered her right instep due to faulty new skates right after New Year's, she increased her practices until she was pumped by Four Continents, so it was big indeed, she landed it there. But likely getting even more attention, at least in certain places, will be a very silly interview soon to be aired with Jane Torval and Christopher Dean, for which this teaser detail has been released. After after mostly denying all possibilities of romance, Dean admits they had a little dabble. Basically, they made out on a bus once en route to a competition. After that, they presumably stopped because they really didn't want to endanger the partnership. In other trashy British news, it was Team Dance Week for Dancing on Ice, resulting in a double victory for Matt Lipinskis and Brian Delcor. Not only did they outscore everyone else by 5 points for their individual routine, managing 35.5 per sensual seal number, but headed Team Matt, which with MC Hammer faced off Team Beth, headed by Beth Twaddle and Daniel Whiston, in skating to Gangnam style. And both teams went for spectacle, but Team Matt backed it up with more technical content and won, resulting in the individual scores of all three pairs being doubled and a total for Lipinskis and Delcor of 71. Twaddle and Whiston, if not for the scores being doubled, would have been second for a well-done Charleston, but their teammates, Keith Chegwin and Olga Shuratenko, and Sami Agadi and Sylvain Longchambin weren't so lucky. They pretty much defaulted into the skate-off together. They skated to appropriate choices of Fortuna and Should I Stay or Should I Go, respectively. Chegwin and Shuratenko openly reused choreography from earlier in the season, and in a split decision, the judges decided Gotti and Longchambin should stay, and after too many skate-offs, Chegwin and Shuratenko should go. Chegwin simply said that he'd been glad to make it back after being forced to pull out of the previous season with injuries. In more significant romantic news, pair of skaters Rockne Brubaker and Stephania Burton announced their engagement this week. They apparently got to know each other at the 2011 Cup de Nice early last season and got serious at last year's Worlds. He popped the question on the second at a birthday party for his siblings. Says Brubaker, "Neither of us have ever been happier than we are now." They haven't set a date yet. Burton and partner Andrzej Jatarek will be training in Detroit until at least Worlds, and it now seems very likely indeed Brubaker will want to find his new partner there. The Italian team was also interviewed by PJ Kwan, with her posting it this week, and there they said they're still comprehending that they actually made the podium at Europeans. It doesn't change their approach towards Worlds, and they're aiming for the top eight as far as they care about results. Kwan had a similar interview with Valentina Marquet, who called her fourth place at Europeans as proof she can hold her own around the top, and how she went to Yuka Sato and Jason Dungeon because she saw Alyssa Cisney's confidence come back under them and wanted that, and while she's been happier on the ice under them than she's been in the past, she hopes in the future to mentor young skaters in Italy so they won't have to leave home. And finally, a last couple pair of interviews were done following Nationals with the newly retired Jonathan Kazar and Wesley Campbell. Kazar said he'd decided to retire in November, when his attempt to finally get the triple axel was done in by tendonitis so bad it kept him from jumping at all. He described it as the feeling inside that I've gone as far as I could. He also described himself as almost happier as a choreographer than as a competitor. That and coaching will be his main thing now, but he also hopes to skate in shows. Campbell, too, is moving on as a coach, but while he's done with singles, he's actually not ruling out returning in as a pair skater, though it would have to be a very appealing opportunity, and he sees his left-handedness as being a very big hindrance. And that is This Week in Figure Skating. Good night.